And let me add my welcome to Tim's from earlier, and especially if you're in the overflow downstairs. We hope you still feel very much part of it here, and it's great to have you with us. I'm Hugh Palmer. I discovered not just the importance of the All Souls Research Institute, but getting to know Professor Candy Leung, I understood the intelligence required to set it up. She said to me, Hugh, we'll research the questions. You're the rector, you handle the answers. So thank you for your questions. They've certainly been challenging, and this week's is no exception. What is the meaning of life? It's what the actress Helen Bonham Carter called the big question. Dennis the Menace, the great cartoon character from the Beano, the fount of much wisdom for schoolboys for decades, said, "Life is what you make it, and I can make it unbearable." I wonder if he was behind the Tokyo Tube map, which seems designed to baffle almost anyone trying to work out their route through life. But actually, there are few of us who haven't been at confused.com, whether we're at a station trying to work out where to go and how to get there, and there can be too much information to help sometimes, can't there? Or whether we're asking the same questions about life. Here are the kind of questions the survey threw up. What is life all about? Why did you create the world? What's your plan? Is it all worth it? What am I here for? So as you can see, no pressure, Hugh. When it comes to the meaning of life, though, London, like many others, seems to be starting with what I can only call the search. It's why, if you've been with us these last few weeks, we've been following the tube map a lot of the time. And we're not just plunging for the nearest station this morning. We're not sure where to get on, or if we did, where we'd be heading to. And plenty will warn us how hard the search for meaning is. Mark Twain, the American writer, once wrote this, "Life is all a dream, a grotesque, a foolish dream." But it's not just intellectuals who've been telling us for the last 60 years or more that there isn't a meaning to life, and they've been reflecting it in their writing, their drama, their art, their music. Actually, everyday experience so often seems to echo the despair. Take Liz, for example. Liz is a freelance hairdresser. She's 21, she's set up on her own, she's just bought her first property. She's the kind of bubbly, lively, outgoing personality who enjoys the parties, the club scene that any big city can offer. Like many who get caught up in it, she's probably got into the habit of drinking a bit too much. She's had a number of failed relationships which have hurt her. And something of the excitement has just worn off life. A bit of disillusionment creeping in. The whole thing of living to please yourself wasn't quite all it was made out to be. And she says questions creep into her mind uninvited and unanswered. What is it all about? Why am I here? Even, is there a God? Actually, I've only got to look at the adverts. I've only got to look at the shopping bags that you'll be surrounded with on the tube journey home to see the clamor to answer the questions. You know, new homes, new clothes, new cars, new shoes, new toys, new gadgets, new perfume, all echoing L'Oreal's, because you're worth it. And like Liz, we can often find ourselves wistful for a more satisfying worth it. Many have achieved it, only then to discover life's challenges can remove so much of the meaning that brought fulfillment in the first place. I mean, there can be the kind of challenges that are unexpected, like grief or loss or illness, or just part of normal life routine, children growing up and leaving home, or retirement. Chris Evert was a leading women's tennis player of the 70s and 80s. Her career win-loss record, I'm told, was the best of any singles player in history. But as she contemplated retirement, she was petrified. Listen to what she said to one interviewer. I had no idea who I was or what I could be away from tennis. I was depressed and afraid because so much of my life had been defined by my being a tennis champion. I was completely lost. Winning made me feel like I was somebody. It made me feel pretty. It was like being hooked on a drug. I needed the wins, the applause, in order to have an identity. They're honest comments, aren't they? And you don't need to be a tennis champion to know that. My father spent all his working life in the city. You wouldn't have described him as one of the city high flyers, but he worked hard and he did well. And watching him and his peers adjust to retirement was revealing. There was a wistfulness, a sadness, a look in the eye sometimes that suggested they knew the elephant in the room. The question they didn't quite ever dare face up to. Whether that lifetime's respectable work was enough, whether it had been meaning enough for life. I don't think it was just material greed that meant, although he'd made plenty, he lost it all trying to make more in retirement. But a sense of emptiness is something of a universal disease. Get up, go to work, come home, watch the telly, go to bed. Get up, go to work, come home, watch the telly, go to bed. Get up, go to work, come home, watch the telly, go to bed, party at weekends. There's got to be more to life, hasn't there? Why am I here? Where am I going? However you ask the question, you see, it isn't limited to religious issues. Don't put it in that compartment. This search, it is the human search. It's one we're all asking. And the Bible doesn't just speak for the religious when the teacher says, meaningless, meaningless, everything's meaningless. Yes, God is used to us approaching him over this question with the help word near to our lips. Might be a good place to start.